Why U.S. central bankers want to keep their policies in stimulus mode. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning to you. The Federal Reserve winds up its two-day meeting on interest rates today. The team is not expected to raise rates, but some of the Fed's peers around the world are starting to put away their pandemic relief tools. The U.S. Central Bank says it's not even thinking about winding them down this year or next. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at why the Fed is taking longer to get back to normal.
Central banks around the world did what the Fed did, poured cash into their economies by buying bonds. But now, some are just starting to tiptoe away from that. The Bank of Canada got things going this spring, scaling back or tapering its bond purchases. Fitch Ratings chief economist Brian Colton expects the Bank of England to wind up its bond buying by the end of this year.
At this point, it sounds like they think they will have done enough by November to cease further purchases.
Other central banks are dipping a toe even further into post-pandemic waters, hinting at interest rate hikes. Athanatos Vamvakaitis is an economist at Bank of America.
But then you have a number of other central banks that have already signaled hikes ahead of the Fed.
Vamvakaitis says the Central Bank of Norway isn't just signaling a rate hike. It says clearly it will raise interest rates this year. On this side of the Atlantic, Fed Chair Jerome Powell has said the Fed isn't even, quote, thinking about trimming its bond buying.
I mean, I think what the Fed is doing, which should not be underrated, is watching this situation incredibly closely.
Catherine Judge teaches law at Columbia University. She says there's a good reason the Fed is moving slower than its peers. It has a dual mandate. Other central banks just have to worry about controlling inflation. But the Fed has inflation and unemployment on its plate. Stable prices, but also maximum employment.
And they've recognized that while we do have a lot of people returning to the workforce, there's also a lot of people who remain unemployed.
The Fed wants to keep interest rates low so consumers keep spending. When customers are buying, businesses have money to hire more workers. Judge says this dual mandate will keep the Fed lagging behind its peers around the world until employment in the U.S. gets back to normal. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
President Biden has put in an energetic critic of big tech as a top federal regulator at a time when the industry is under pressure from Congress, regulators, and state attorneys general. The selection of Columbia Law professor Lina Khan to head the Federal Trade Commission is seen as signaling a tough stance toward tech giants such as Facebook, Google, Amazon, Apple. Khan was sworn in as FTC chair yesterday, soon after the Senate confirmed her as commissioner. 32-year-old Khan is a pioneer in pushing to reframe the test for too much market dominance under antitrust law, arguing that in a digital economy, the effect on consumer prices gets too much weight. It's a major heat wave across much of the West and Southwest right now. 107 degrees in Salt Lake City is the highest on record, tying hot days in 2002 and 1960. With all that AC running, there's stress on power grids. And in Texas and California, people are being asked to lower their power consumption. With climate change making extreme heat more common, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports on strengthening the grid.
A lot of the grid is old and in need of repair. Amy Myers Jaffe at Tufts University's Fletcher School says,
we have these new technologies that can be a lot more resilient to temperature changes and help us with more backup power. We have to install all of that.
That includes more renewable energy and batteries that can store power for longer. There are also new software systems.
That if you're not home, your utility could turn off your air conditioning or other appliances in your home because you're not there.
And then turn it on again before you get home. In addition to building capacity to generate and store electricity, Jesse Jenkins at Princeton University says consumer behavior does also make a difference.
And if we can reduce electricity consumption by just 1%, that could be the difference between rolling blackouts and just another hot day.
Especially in the short term, Jenkins says, because new power plants and infrastructure take time to build. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Kind of mixed here. The Dow future down 19 points. That's less than a 10th percent. The S&P future pretty flat. It's up a point. The NASDAQ future is up 0.2%. The benchmark interest rate starts the day below 1.5%. Crude oil is up a 0.1% at $72.19 a barrel. North Korean state media say their country's leader Kim Jong-un is admitting the food situation there is difficult and that shortages are possible. Here's the BBC's Michael Bristow.
Mr. Kim told a meeting of senior leaders that the food situation was, as he put it, getting tense. He said the agricultural sector had failed to produce enough grain, blaming last year's typhoons, which caused widespread flooding. North Korea is also struggling because of international sanctions imposed because of its nuclear programs, and it closed its borders last year to keep out the coronavirus, forcing trade with its most important ally, China, to fall by 80%. Hundreds of thousands of North Koreans died in a famine in the 1990s. It's thought 10 million could be going hungry now.
Michael Bristow reporting for our editorial partner at the BBC. Travelers from the U.S. could soon be allowed to visit various European Union countries for fun, leisure, tourism, your call, although proof of COVID vaccination or negative COVID test may still be required, depending on the country. EU ambassadors today agreed to include travelers from the U.S. on a list of more than a dozen countries permitted. Individual countries still get to decide, and those approvals could start in the coming days. For developments in workplace culture, innovation, markets, the economy, money, there will be many of those. May I propose from the menu my colleague Kai Rizdahl's work in the evening on many public radio stations or streaming from marketplace.org. I'm Dave Brancaccio with the Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.